Welcome to the regularly scheduled meeting of the Morro Bay Planning Commission. It is February 15th, 6 o'clock. We are holding this meeting via teleconference, and we have a full quorum of commissioners, so the meeting is called to order. We will start with a deep breath and a moment of silence. All right, thank you. Do we have any planning commissioner announcements, comments? Nothing from anybody. One thing I wanted to, and commissioners may already know this, prior to COVID, we all had mailboxes in the city offices and the community development department office. And staff will print up reports for you, even without those mailboxes there. If you let Gina know and you would like a hard copy of reports, sometimes it can be helpful in following along with the meeting. If not, you're saving paper, although I tended to print things at home if I needed to. But just so you know, that is available to everybody. Again, just give Gina a little email and she's happy to print stuff out for you. All right, we will move on to public comment period. This is for items which are not on the agenda or things which are on the agenda but you can't stay for. So Hyland and Anthony, do we have anybody in the queue with a raised hand for public comment at this time?
Thank you, Chair. I do not see any raised hands in the queue.
Perfect. Then we will move on to our consent calendar.
Sorry about that. It's
somebody.
A last-minute raised hand from Peggy Mandeville.
Perfect. And I think we had a very last-minute email from Ms. Mandeville, which was quite informative. So, Peggy, you may address the commission now.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I did submit a letter at the last minute. I apologize for that. However, I wanted to raise the issue of accessory dwelling units in the city and the current regulations that they follow versus what the city could adopt for them to follow. And I just ask that the Planning Commission consider this subject and perhaps, hopefully, agendize it for a future meeting.
All right. Thank you so much. And if you haven't had a chance to see it in your email, Ms. Mandeville did include some Coastal Commission comments on updates. I haven't had a chance to really read through it, but I did print it out so I can look at it later, and it would be a good thing for us to pay attention to. All right, is there anybody else for public comment at this time?
There are no more raised hands in the queue.
All right, then we will close comment and move on to the consent calendar. We have the current and advanced planning and processing list and minutes from November 16th and December 7th. Are there any questions or comments or concerns about any of those items? No? And can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I move to approve it.
Thanks, Joe. And a second?
Second.
Mike. Thanks, Mike. Thank you. All right, and I think we can just go all in favor. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thanks. So moving along, the next item was the site location of 2995 Beachcomber Drive. We'll have a quick staff report because I see that this was pulled, then we'll open for public comment on that item. So Nancy Hubbard, good evening.
Okay, so this project was deemed complete, and in our recently adopted general plan, there is a public safety element that includes some new requirements for areas that are considered to be in the coastal hazard area. And the continuance request is to give the applicant more time to put together some studies. So likely sea level rising study and a biology evaluation of the site and the dune and protected habitat.
Great. Okay. So we will go ahead. Does anybody have any questions on why this is being postponed for a later date? Nope, we're all good on that. Do we have any public comment on that item?
Thank you, Chair. I see no raised hands.
Perfect. Then we don't really need to take any other action on that, correct? Postpone it to date uncertain?
We need a motion and a second. Motion and a second to continue.
Okay. Bill, you sounded like you were starting.
Yeah, I'm happy to make the motion to support the staff report for continuance. Do we have a second?
Okay, we have a second from
Mike. Date certain? No?
Date uncertain, I believe.
Is that what it is?
Okay, yeah. That's. Can I just make a comment, Susan, real quick, since we have Nancy and she talked about some additional reports that need to be filed. And I did read in the paper today, at least in my local paper, that the sea level rise will be like 1 foot by 2050 in coastal areas. So, you know, 1 foot by 2050 is, you know, pretty significant. So I don't know if that would be, you know, I'm sure that'll fall in one of the studies, but I can understand why we would need these additional studies. So I look forward to getting all of it, and then we can talk about it as a planning commission.
Yes, perfect.
Okay, thank you. Did you see that, by the way, Nancy? Yeah, I'm sure you've heard about that, right?
I've been reading a lot about that lately.
Yeah. So it happened to be in the front page of my local newspaper, the Mercury News, today. They talked about 1 foot and by 2050. That's a lot of water there.
It's a lot of water.
Yeah.
I do remember when we were doing the general plan and starting that project, we decided to look at a 100-year cycle. Yes. Mm-hmm. And by the time we got to the end of, you know, the 2 or 3 years it took us to do that, the 100-year projections were now at the 50-year. So it's happening a lot faster even than our, you know, so it's really important to consider when we're looking at these coastal houses. All right, so we have a motion on the table. Motion from Bill, second from Mike. You want to call the roll, Scott or Nancy?
Commissioner Roshan?
Yes.
Commissioner Ngrafia?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
And Chair Stewart?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, no new business. We're on to unfinished business, which is our public benefits subcommittee. And Scott, do you want to introduce that?
Yeah, sure. You know, a while back, the Planning Commission formed a public benefits subcommittee to look at, you know, public benefits associated with projects, you know, throughout the city. The committee has met a few times. It consists of Commissioner Ngrafia, Commissioner Rodriguez, and an at-large person, Sean Green, lending his hand that we always appreciate. So, and got him on the call here today, too. They've been sort of working through what the public benefits, you know, concept might look like. We got through a full list of what public benefits would be, and then a more focused, like, what it would look like for a big project and what the opportunities would be. And to do this sort of case study, we looked at the Vistra power plant site, and that's what we're bringing forward to you this time. It's not the full-blown policy. It's really to kind of take a look at what it would look like for a large project. I think with that, I'll turn it over to the subcommittee to introduce the item and move forward with it.
Thank you, Scott. I'm just going to talk fairly briefly, high level, and then I'll pass it off to Joe and Mike. We did meet a few times, and we started, just to recap, and Scott did a really nice job introducing this, but basically there are certain scenarios in town where oftentimes, like, let's say in plan development or other instances where a finding of significant public benefits turns up with among planning staff and developers are then put in a place where they need to then propose certain public benefits to the city, and it's sort of sort of a negotiation, I guess, or kind of an open-ended discussion about what those benefits are or could be or should be, or what kinds of benefits the city actually wants. And so that was the basis for forming this subcommittee. And our hope is that through a discussion with the Planning Commission and presenting eventually a sort of menu, a general menu of the kinds of benefits that we would like to see from developers who are required to propose them, then it actually puts the onus on developers and gives them a really nice opportunity to proactively propose public benefits to the city, and also even keep in mind which of those public benefits may also benefit them privately. Let's say if these are adjacent improvements to the public right-of-ways, et cetera, so that it's a mutually beneficial opportunity. As a subcommittee, we sat down and looked broadly at the kinds of things that our city might need, whether it's right-of-way improvements or landscaping or certain amenities like sports fields or free public Wi-Fi or things, you know, pipe dream items, and then some more necessity type items. And we thought that with Vistra being just about the biggest imaginable project that we could foresee, that we might use them as a case study and bring that forward to the Planning Commission before the more general public benefits menu that will hopefully come in another month or so, depending on how this discussion goes today. Another reason why Vistra came up now rather than later is that there is a city council subcommittee that I believe is made up of Mayor Heading and council member Addis that is, my understanding is in negotiations with Vistra about the kinds of public benefits that they might be able to proactively propose as it relates to a potential battery storage facility. Now, I do want to clarify, and the subcommittee definitely wants to clarify, that this discussion about Vistra potential public benefits is in no way an endorsement of any kind of project from Vistra, nor do we know anything about what that project might look like. This is simply an opportunity to talk about the kinds of benefits that the city would like to see, and they may pertain to a future Vistra project. Just to name a few, you probably saw the agenda items. It's only a 2 or 3 page report. What we did is we created a map that includes the Vistra property and basically looked at the perimeter of the Vistra property and looked for public spaces that could be benefit in some shape or form that could be improved. Things like beautification and public pedestrian pathways on the west side of Vistra, which would be the east side of Embarcadero. Infrastructure items near Coleman Park and the undeveloped dunes area just west, northwest of Vistra's entrance. We talked about potential improvements to the bike path on the east side of Vistra, including safety lighting, improved crosswalks. Then there's opportunities on the north side of the Vistra property. I received one that actually didn't make it onto the list because I just heard it from two stakeholder groups yesterday and today. But there was a request to add a three sports field complex, potentially near Lillikaiser, which would allow large outside groups to come into town and hold larger scale, like a soccer tournament, for example. Then on the south side of Vistra, we have potential improvements to the dirt parking lot. There's some other parking-related improvements, possibly replacing the Surf Street stairs. So that's the kind of idea behind the Public Benefits Subcommittee. I think with that said, I think that there's value in the commission looking at the list, whether it's item by item. I don't think that's really necessary, but you're welcome to. And then also looking at the map that corresponds to the list of Vistra-related benefits. Again, this is a very Vistra-specific list, but it is an indication of the kinds of things that a more general list could include. So with that, I think I'll pass it off to Joe, see if he wants to add anything.
Let's see. Well, I think it goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway. I think this guidelines is going to be very useful going forward in terms of figuring out what additional benefits should be for various projects. And I really have to thank Sean because he certainly did the lion's share of the work. I wasn't planning either to go into any great deals to what the report says specifically, but I do want to point out a couple of what I think are important highlights of it. One is that it's, you know, certainly an exhaustive list, but that doesn't mean that things can't be added to it either by the applicants or by the city or by suggestions by concerned citizens. It's a nice framework in that it mentions the categories of benefits associated for normal projects and then large projects and then the occasional mega project. And then there's some definitions offered as to what each of those projects actually, what each of those categories actually means. And in the report as well, it mentions that certainly for the larger mega projects, there should be additional input as the city council gets close to deciding, input from the citizens at large, because they may have ideas or priorities that aren't immediately entertained by the decision makers. And another thing that I really liked about the report is that it makes clear, and this, I've seen this come up before in terms of it's what we're not talking about are the kind of consequences that are directly associated with the project. So we're not talking about taxes or additional city revenues to the city, additional benefits, and we're not talking about something like, you know, the economic multiplier. I mean, the increase in overall business activity as a result of a given project as being an additional benefit, because that's, you know, directly associated with the project and in any sense isn't something additional. We decided in the report that there would not be a provision for any kind of in-lieu cash payment to the city as additional benefit. And I think we all experience a kind of a discomfort with that, so I don't go into the reasons for it, but we decided that we should not opt for that. Probably the most important general idea coming out of the report is that the additional community benefits should be, and they have to be, commensurate with the value of the project, okay? And specifically, I don't really need to cite the example, but I will anyway, you know, the Vista project, which I saw a figure of $600 million for construction, and God knows what the value of the project will be when it's online. So additional community benefits in that case should be commensurate with the ultimate value of the project. And then, as Sean mentioned, there are a fair number of very specific additional community benefits directly tied to the Vista project to eliminate any sense of lack of understanding about what the implication is. And with respect to the Vista project, I think it's just clear that it's such a big project and it's so significant to the city that any discussion about what should ultimately be the set, because it might not be certain, and almost certainly it won't be just one thing, but the set of benefits should be, you know, robust. It should involve a lot of people. It should be ongoing for a significant amount of time. I might even say protracted, to make sure that we get it right, because we're in all likelihood we're only going to have one opportunity to do this. So that's what I'd like to say about Sean's remarkable report. Now, I have two other broad thoughts associated specifically with Vistra, and less with the actual benefits, but more with Vistra as a project. So I have a feeling that I should defer those to a little bit later on in the discussion today, and just sort of confine these remarks to really as they relate to the actual benefit discussion. So so I'm going to do that, but I will come back later on to talk about my two other ideas. That's about it for me.
Great, Joe. Thank you. And Mike, did you have anything to add?
Yes, I did. And I will not repeat what Sean has said or what Joe has said. Try not to. But I made four major points here that I wanted to talk about that, you know, are important. You know, obviously the Planning Commission deals with land use. You know, land use, which will happen for the rest of our lives once we make decisions. So land use is on our plate. You know, as a Planning Commission, that's what we do. So the City Council subcommittee is seeking out input on what to do with Vistra, and as it negotiates, and has asked the Planning Commission specifically, as well as others, for their input. So I would say out of all of the input they receive, Planning Commission should be by far one of the most, I would say one of the most, should be one of the most detailed and broad input, because we do land use planning. You know, we're thinking about 100 things, not two. So that's how I approach this. So, and then the other thing is that, as Joe mentioned, but I won't say it in those words, Vistra will be by far the largest project or redevelopment in my lifetime. In my lifetime, maybe the city's lifetime, I don't know, unless we decide to redevelop downtown one of these days. So we need to take it that way. We need to deal with it that way. And again, it requires the Planning Commission and others to give a lot of input on how we're going to do this right, because we only have one chance to do it right. Because once we make decisions, you know, we don't go back and redevelop until another 50 to 100 years, you know, especially projects like this. Vistra's been around for, I think, 60 years. So we're going to be making decisions that'll be around for another 50 to 60 years. So that's the way I approach it. My third bullet point here is that when we do projects like Vistra, it's important that we mitigate the impacts. We mitigate the impacts by providing and contributing to the public benefits that come with that project. So, you know, obviously there are always going to be positive and negative impacts of any project. But when we do something as big as Vistra, we need to ensure that the impacts are mitigated and that we provide public benefits as part of that project, especially when it will be providing as much as 1 million people with power one day as part of a project, as part of the battery project. I think it's projected that the battery project will provide 1 million people with power. So what are the public benefits that Morro Bay should receive for that? And again, I think Joe said it very well. We're not looking at a number. We shouldn't be looking at a number. What we should be looking at is what the impact will be, what Morro Bay should receive as part of the public benefits of doing something that big. And then the last thing I'll say is that, you know, the way I look at it is, since this is such a big project, you know, we didn't ask for it. It's on our lap. You know, it's not on our time schedule. It's on somebody else's. But we have it now. But it's my attitude that Vistra should be setting the tone for how we will be seeking additional public benefits from other projects. Not necessarily this size, but just period. If Vistra should be setting the tone, because this is a fairly new idea we have here of seeking public benefits from projects, big, medium, small. So those were my major inputs, given what Sean and Joe have already said, but we were looking forward to receiving everybody's input. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. So at this point, let's have questions from the commissioners of the committee and or of staff, and then we will open for public comment. So I see Asia with her hand up.
Yeah, thanks. This is great. I love thinking about community benefits, as I think it should really be a practice for most development. I'm wondering, I know that as a planning commission, we are most focused on land use, but I'm wondering why this list, or why you as a subcommittee chose to focus only on built environment. I know this is, these are just examples, but why maybe included in this list of examples isn't, I guess I'm thinking, like, why doesn't it address things like affordable housing or other social benefits that also have to do with land use beyond the immediate built environment? Was that a part of the discussion at all, or...
Mike, did you want to? I see Mike with his hand up, and then
Sean. Yeah, sure. Sure. You know. Thank you, Asia. That was a very good input that we didn't necessarily talk about, but when I did this in another city, we did bring in affordable housing as part of it. We just missed it. I'll just say it, we missed it. We've had three meetings, but affordable housing can be part of it. Again, this was a wish list.
Right.
And it could fall under housing or affordable housing, just housing in general, because yeah. We did that as part of other developments, large developments in cities I've worked in. So great comment. We should have probably had it in there, housing and affordable housing. We can't put it in there.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of, you know, our discussion about affordable housing with ADUs and thinking about programming around that and finding resources. And brainstorming about how do we increase affordability, true affordability for the city through ADUs. And addressing affordable housing in a list like this could open up opportunity for industry to be a part of that solution. And that goes for other, you know, social things that might not be traditional beautification. I'm thinking about like parking down there, you know, the need for parking without wanting to have parking right in the middle of the Embarcadero, or just the other things that might not be immediately adjacent to the site, but that the site will still impact socially in town. The other question I have is around, this is kind of goes back to what you're talking about with mitigation of impact of their work, their development. I'm wondering if, as this continues to be developed, if there needs to be something along the lines, a mention of a nexus. Like whatever community benefit is agreed upon, it has to be proportional and it has to be have that nexus to the project itself. So like you were saying, this is an enormous redevelopment project. And like Joe was saying, you know, big projects should have big impacts, positive impacts on the community. And so making sure to include some description of proportionality and nexus, I think would be really helpful.
And Sean, did you have a response earlier to either of Asia's questions?
Yeah, I think they're both really well taken. Regarding the social benefits and kind of our city's dream list, What we were trying to do is not, so, you know, like in the parking in lieu fee that we collect sometimes for people who can't provide parking spots goes into this kind of vague pot of money that maybe we sometimes do something about it in 20 years. What we were trying to do, and we talked about this as a subcommittee, is trying to create a kind of one-to-one, let the people see something physically physically improved as a result of this project rather than. So I'm a big supporter of affordable housing, and if a certain plan development was going to incorporate affordable housing directly into that particular project, home run. I think that's right in the wheelhouse of this list. Putting money towards a distant 10-year affordable plan was less the focus of this list, but still could certainly be added if the commission wanted to spend some time identifying a number of social benefits that we hope for. I think that's perfect for a general benefits discussion list and try to figure out how we can make that a little bit more immediate and connected to the project.
Yeah, I appreciate that direct impact, not the future or, you know, nebulous impact that might happen because there's a lot of money. I appreciate the need to have something real and concrete. And so maybe it's, maybe it's the project of the commission or the city council to come up with those concrete projects around some of those social benefits.
You know,
thanks, guys. Joe, did you have a response there?
Well, I'm also thinking with respect to the affordable housing, God knows, I've been a supporter and a proponent of that for a long time. But again, in Morro Bay, there is so little, undeveloped or even developable acreage in the city. And then, housing is so expensive. I question how practical a consideration it is for most of these projects, albeit, Vistra is such an enormous project that maybe when we look at, a significant percentage of that budget, there would be room to build something somewhere. But that's a tough one to pencil out at this point. It's one thing to say we'd like to encourage, accessory dwelling units, but it's another thing to find a piece of land that can accommodate, 40 or 50 or 60 affordable units and then expect some applicant to, to build that. I think that's
problematic. Thanks, Joe. Bill, I see your hand up. Have you got questions for staff or the committee?
Is it okay to make a comment?
Sure, make a comment. I just want to make sure we get to public comment and then we'll get back to even more discussion about things. So go ahead and make a comment.
No, go ahead and have public comment.
You want to wait? I have just a couple quick questions, and I think mostly to staff. In a project like this where a lot of the negotiations are being done basically in closed session, when will public benefits come up, and will we be allowed to have significant input on that? In other words, do these negotiations happen behind closed doors with the lawyers and the committee or the city council, or will it come back to planning commission where we can advise and give some direction on what public benefits we would like to see?
And all good questions, and I think so the council subcommittee, Mr. Council subcommittee, is kind of in the beginning stages of discussing public benefits right now. I want to also provide a correction, or at least make sure everybody's aware of this. We do have the Vistra battery project in-house right now, and you can go to the current planning page, and you can see the plans they've submitted to this point. We're in, sort of the back and forth with the Vistra team on putting together the project description for the environmental document right now. That's where we are at, kind of the project land of things. But the public benefit piece is these council subcommittees talking about just that, like how are we going to go about doing this? And so, the commission, because you're aware that the project exists, could choose to send a letter to the council, to the council subcommittee. It doesn't have to be to the full council. And, providing a list of suggested public benefits if you want to. You could also wait and see, what type of input, the council subcommittee comes up with and what process they want to go with, and then you could wait for that. Certainly happy. I attend all the Vistra subcommittee meetings with the council members heading in at us, and so I could certainly talk with them more about that and sort of liaise between planning commission and the subcommittee if you'd like. Certainly an option. We have a meeting this week, so I could basically return to the next meeting and have some input for you there. Yeah, we meet tomorrow. So
great. That's really good information. It seems like since one of the things the subcommittee brought up was having as much community input as possible, the more often it comes before public, you know, commission and board and council meetings, the better. I mean, I could certainly even see this happening in the Harbor Advisory Board meetings. It's very relevant to them. Could be relevant to TBID meetings, certainly public works meetings. So really, in any of our public meetings, it could be discussed. And I do like the idea of sending a letter back to the subcommittee saying, you know, expressing an interest and perhaps giving some recommendations.
I mean, you could even do that on the form in the form of making recommendations about how you'd like to see the public engagement go. You don't even have to get into the actual list if you don't
want
to. You have the list, so you can get into it if you'd like.
Sure.
If you want to go through it, pick things that you want to recommend to them. That's entirely up to the Planning Commission. You may want to go higher, you know, next step up and sort of, you know, wait to see what their, you know, outreach sort of looks like as it relates to the public benefits discussion.
Okay.
Encourage them to do what you just said, Chair Stewart, and engage through their advisory boards. They're all, you know, certainly things that are on the table for the process.
Well, in some ways, right now, given we're still in this sort of strange no man land of meetings, calling a public meeting and all the time and energy and issues of COVID and so on that could take versus these meetings that we have weekly with our various boards and commissions would be a good way, I think, to get some of that extra input in. And I think my only other question somewhat was answered, but just how we set a monetary value for benefits relative to the cost of a project. Do we look at something like, you know, we should get, you know, 5% of the cost of the project should show up in benefits somewhere, or is that, it's so hard to measure.
That's an interesting question. So you need to contextualize all of the public benefit discussion. Projects aren't necessarily required to provide public benefit, right? If you're in a plan development overlay, like we see on the waterfront all the time, and usually what happens is you have somebody on the waterfront that's wanting to do two stories because the requirement is actually single story, right? You have to do extra public benefit to get that second story. And so that's why we often have those conversations around projects that are down on the waterfront. And that's where we see it used the most. This property is also in a plan development overlay, and they are actually asking for things, height exceptions for their buildings. So we get to ask for extra public benefit and sort of direct what that, you know, or we can direct what that conversation looks like. There's, you know, that part of their application as it stands today requires them to do that and to offer up things along those lines. So perfectly good conversation to have related to a very large project in the city. So, yes.
Thank you, Scott, for answering those questions. Bill, you have your hand up?
Yeah. Let's see. So, Scott, I do have one quick question. We are going through a development agreement with Vistra. Is that correct? Is that going to be the development tool?
So it's one of the things we're discussing with them right now, yes, whether we're going to have one or not. Normally, when you have large projects like this, that is sort of the tool that you use in moving the project forward. It does a lot of things for large projects, locks in development standards, things like that, because development standards can change over time. But we have certainly not landed on whether that's going to be the document for sure. It's the one I'm most used to using when you do projects like this. It certainly makes a lot of sense from my standpoint, but we haven't locked that in, let's say.
Experience of projects of this scale, development agreement is likely, and that's a good thing for the city because it gives us free rein. But the comments I'd like to make go back to what Asia said is I think it's very important for the Planning Commission to establish nexus, that we really do need to understand this is not a Christmas list, right? It's a good place to start, so let's talk about that, especially when it's general. But the key things I do think are going to be about project impacts, like height, scale, infrastructure, traffic. Those kinds of things are going to be really key, and that, for me, is what's going to establish the value. as we begin to look at this project, I think, in more specifics. So I guess what I would encourage, I want to say thank you to the subcommittee. It's great to start here. What seems important to me is this needs to be an ongoing effort. We need to bring a lot of energy, a lot of thought, a lot of communication with Scott and staff, and really begin to establish what those impacts might be and how to build a nexus around those impacts. For us to be able to justify is going to be and explain is key to getting the negotiation. Remember, all of this is a negotiation, and that's why the development agreement is so important, if that's what it is, if that's the tool. And I think we need to be responsive in that way. So it's not just what the public thinks, it's what the project, I think, the burdens the project is going to place, and the impacts it's going to have, and then how we begin to, I think, make more sense about that. Also, it can be larger and major stuff. You know, I mean, these are all a nice list, but we do need to look at some serious issues. With the development agreement, it could be everything from affordable housing to, you know, EV charging stations, right? Mm-hmm. It's really going to be up to how the council sets that negotiation. I think our advice needs to come more from a planning position, so I agree with the committee. And if I think along with this list, we need to begin to build that nexus and an explanation. I think this list doesn't mean much without the nexus and without the explanations. And I guess that's my comment.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Let's go ahead and open up for public comment, and then we'll get back to more discussions. So, Highlander Anthony, do we have anybody in the queue for public comment?
Thank you, Chair. There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Then we will get back to discussion. Where do we want to take this next?
Well, I'd suggest we actually do look at a sequential effort where this is not a one-time swing, but we really start to build it. And I would encourage the committee to look at what the impacts of the project might be and how to come in with a more specific list. And it can be multiple categories, right? And it can be things that aren't related to the project. But my guess is we'll have more success with things that are. One of the hardest things about this is going to be the negotiation, how Vistra is going to, you know, Vistra's interest is to get the project done as efficiently as they can. The city's interest is to make sure we get the most benefit from it, and certainly we find ways to mitigate impacts. If we could find a way to, I think, review this regularly, and also stay visible for the council. So we become a kind of an awareness meter about impacts, and those impacts, I think, will evolve as the project becomes better understood.
Scott, at what point can we start addressing this regularly as a planning commission?
I mean, I think in the context of the public benefits discussion, you can continue to do that. I think, you know, if you'd like, I can at least go and take, you know, the temperature of the Vistra subcommittee and get their, you know, idea about that literally tomorrow. And then I can report back on that to the council, you know, at the next meeting. So that might be somewhat illuminating for you. If that's the desire of the Planning Commission, I mean, it's up to you.
I think it would be helpful to all involved to know how many eyes are on it, how many people are interested in looking at it and concerned. And I think the sooner that Vistra gets even an overview of the kinds of things we're thinking about and looking at for public benefit, some of which, as the committee pointed out, which I really appreciate, benefits them as well. So if they are making improvements around their physical property that you know, add bike paths, add better lighting, add, you know, whatever the features are, even EV charging stations, those kinds of things that will benefit their both appearance, the entry to their project, possibly even their employees. Those kinds of things are out there as possibilities as well. I think I also appreciate what the committee was talking about, not doing in lieu things quite so much. So just providing that money that goes down the road somewhere. For example, with housing, in some ways, I don't know, I may be wrong on this, but they own a huge piece of property. You know, perhaps a possibility would be deeding some of that property for housing to be built as a project by somebody else. These are not housing developers. These are energy developers. But they have a big piece of property that they don't need for their project. So, you know, those putting that in their mind, perhaps, that would be a benefit to provide more of that land. Again, would have to be rezoned, I'm guessing, looking at Scott's face.
No, their land actually has a mixed-use residential overlay on top of it. The issue is the PG&E deed restriction that doesn't allow housing to be built on it. That's based on contamination issues. Clearly, through the Department of Toxic Substance Control process, there's not the level of contamination on the property that was once thought to be. Mm-hmm. So it seems that, you know, potentially in the future, that deed restriction could be lifted. Maybe, you know, depending on what they end up finding, you know, in the area when they demolish the actual power plant structure and then the stacks.
Yeah. A super fun site, isn't it?
It might have been. DTSC, you know, has a pretty rigorous process you have to go through. They're working with them right now. The only real deed restricted part on it where you couldn't put residential is the area where they want to put the battery project, where the tanks used to be. And that's really surface contamination for the most part. But they don't need to really clean it beyond where it's at to put concrete buildings and batteries. But if you wanted to put people there, then they potentially would have to do more there. Some of the other areas on the sites, and there's several of them in the DTSC report, you know, basically have clean soil and clean groundwater beneath it. So not, again, as contaminated as folks once thought.
That's actually good news. Mike, you've got your hand up.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, and I'd just like to reflect a little bit and then ask Joe and Sean to chime in. You know, when we first started this whole thing, timing was everything. I mean, we didn't know where anything was at. You know, that's not like shooting in the dark, but it feels like it is because we don't know where the subcommittee's going. We didn't know. All we knew is they wanted our input. So we met to provide that input, come up with some ideas. So, you know, we didn't have any idea how much time we had, but based upon what happened with the stacks, we knew that we needed to move fast. So what we talked about as a committee was possibly having the council, now that we know it's at the starting point, having the council use the planning commission to do some of the public participation part of it that needs to happen anyway. That's what we do. That's what our job should be. So the council can actually say, the subcommittee can say, hey, Planning Commission, why don't you do our public participation for us on this project? Since there's so much to do. You know, I did 6 months worth of that on one project because my council wanted me to in my other city. What I'm saying is we do their work for them. They have two, you know, a lot of stuff to do. So we talked about that as a subcommittee. We talked about having the council possibly meet with us as well. You know, to talk, to do a face-to-face, not a face-to-face, but an interaction with the Planning Commission again in this vein, in trying to get the Planning Commission, like Bill said, engaged and to do the work we're appointed to do, which is land use. This is all we're doing here. This is our job. This is our wheelhouse. Let's go to work. We're ready to go to work. We're saying to the council, you've got a lot of work on your plate. Give us the biggest project you're going to have in your city's history, and let us do our job. That's what we talked about. And I'll let Joe and Sean chime in on that. Then I have other ideas, but I'll talk about that after, about where we can move forward, like what Bill was saying. But I'll let Joe and Sean chime in at this point, because I think it's important that we say what we talked about.
Okay.
Right.
Joe.
Right, Joe?
Well, this might be the time for my additional remarks. As I said before, I'm concerned that this should not be considered, what we're talking about should not be considered as an endorsement for the project. And I have the feeling that a lot of people who are tuned into the meeting right now or who hear about the meeting, might get the impression that we are endorsing that the project should be endorsed. And I have a couple of questions that, about the project taken as a whole. And I'd like to voice those now, but I won't if somebody or anyone thinks it's inappropriate. So
I'm gonna pause you right there, Commissioner Graffia. So things that aren't on the agenda right now are the project. And the commission should not be indicating support or lack thereof for the project as part of this discussion. And to be very careful there, because this project, in all likelihood, is going to come before the Planning Commission, assuming it continues to move forward. Whether you approve it or not is an entirely different subject, but definitely not something we should be talking about, things we like about it, don't like about it, that type of thing. It really probably should focus the discussion simply on the overall public benefits concept, construct, and how you want to go about doing that, and how you want to how you would like to go about providing input to the council and or council subcommittee and those types of things. I think we should probably limit our discussions to that. I don't want to get any of you in trouble. So
I suspect it as much. Will we have an opportunity sometime in the future to weigh in on that very subject?
I think potentially yes. We are in the very beginning phases of the project. We've had it in-house for a very long time, but it's the sort of process has been sort of drawn out, trying to get things squared away related to the environmental document, dealing with Vistra's attorneys and their development team. Good news is I think we've broken most of that loose, and we're getting ready to start moving forward with those things. And so that'll start moving the project down the road. And, maybe that's when we have them sort of do a conceptual review in front of the Planning Commission. They're also going to be doing public meetings and public outreach for the project. And certainly the Planning Commission can be part of those things. And maybe one of those information sessions is at the Planning Commission.
That's right. Correct.
There's certainly, options for those types of things, at which point you could have some discussion on the topic then.
Then I look forward to those opportunities.
Okay.
Would there be a value to having our public benefit subcommittee meet with the council Vistra subcommittee just to talk about public benefits? I would assume that council has looked at this list, and certainly the folks on that committee would have seen it. On the other hand, they always have a lot on their own agendas. So
I would imagine they were paying attention to this. Is my thought. I mean, I'll know for sure tomorrow. But if that's something that the commission would like, is that how you want to sort of dip your toe in the water? I need direction from at least three of you moving forward. But I'm happy to, have that conversation with the council subcommittee and see if there's a desire to,
Yes, maybe that's premature. I think we need to go the next round where we really start to look at what the nexus might be on some of these things, so we come in with a little more, I think, purpose behind what we're saying rather than a list. I think we need to begin to establish priorities and planning issues that can be the nexus that Asia talked about. So my feeling is we need to come up with a process independent of the subcommittee that starts to do our job and starts to continue this. And we can do that. We can do that in a number of ways, looking for community, community input, but also the subcommittee can go the next round, starting to establish some of those planning nexuses and see where we come out. Right now, a meeting with the council is, for me, is way premature.
I guess the only reason I don't see it as premature is that the council is already meeting with Vistra on, you know, what this project is going to look like and what that process will be. And I think we want to be sure that that company understands that the city has expectations in exchange for the project impacts that we're looking at that sort of go outside of what our normal, you know, the exceptions that they're asking for will trigger certain needs.
So let's go to the next round with the subcommittee and say, what are the impacts? What are the likely impacts? Mm-hmm. And then what benefits start to cover those impacts? What mitigations can we suggest? Because a wish list has no way to be determined without, I think, again, a nexus. So we need to have that in any kind of discussion with the council, and the council needs that with a discussion with Vistra.
I will say, I do think the committee did some of this in their list. For example, even just talking about trimming and replanting the Monterey cypress trees to screen buildings so that you're looking at the impacts of height and bulk and volume in those buildings by dealing with the landscape, which has multiple benefits for us. Sean, I see your hand's been up for a while.
Yeah, can I also add, Bill makes some great points building off of Asia's nexus comment. We actually do have a 10-page report with the underlying logic behind this list, and council's negotiating several different projects behind closed doors, and in terms of the Planning Commission trying to get out in front of this type of discussion, that was part of the onus for bringing forward the Vistra-specific component today. You guys, knowing what's out there for possible courses of action, we do have a 10-page report that is 98% complete regarding the underlying logic to the public benefits discussion. We can certainly add specific cause and effect or mitigating, attach some sort of mitigating component to the impacts a little bit better than we could. If you wanted to, knowing that other advisory boards only meet maybe once a month, and may not even be able to get something on the agenda for maybe 2 months. Is that something that an avenue that you want to pursue generally and or specifically for Vistra in terms of timing? I guess those are the questions that I'd throw out there.
Why don't we, Sean, if you've got a report and ready to start to build that case, let's agendize this again and keep it going. I mean, I think this is a great start, and, you know, Susan makes the point that there's urgency here, so let's take it on. I just think we have to go in with more clarity so that our recommendations have priorities and they have, you know, negotiation strengths. And so if you guys have already done the work, let's agendize this again and take it the next step. I think it's great.
And I do think, too, and then I do see Asia's hand up as well, it's important that while this was kind of a case study on Vistra, I think we do still want to be looking at the overall concept of public benefits relative to the varieties of projects that come before us, because it has come up frequently, whether on small things like somebody wants to remove more trees than is allowed on a project and how do we have them compensate for that, or things like, as Scott said, on the Embarcadero, they want to go two stories when one story is allowed, so what are we going to ask for in terms of public benefits? And having something that those developers can look at what our community is looking for, rather than just, well, I can throw a few, you know, EV charging stations out, and that will be the benefit I'll offer. So, Asia, your hand.
What was I going to bring up? Well, first, I'm just wondering if any of you guys are land use lawyers and how, how useful that would be. I was just wondering if city council, if maybe it would just be helpful to send them a memo or a little announcement that this is a priority for us and that we are going to be establishing some input as they continue to meet.
I like that idea, Asia.
Yeah. So that they're at least aware that we're about to, that we have stuff to say about it, I guess.
I like
that. But the good part about some of that is you, our council liaison is on the call this evening, Councilmember Heller, and he can convey some of that to council. And I also, again, I'm meeting with the Vista subcommittee tomorrow. So I'm going to give them an update on, you know, kind of where you guys are at and what you've been doing and what your kind of next steps are. And at least my plan. And if there's anything else you'd like me to specifically ask them to bring back to you, I'm happy to do that as well.
My only other thought is to maybe flag this for the other commissions in some way. I don't know if that can be done, you know, before waiting for their next meetings.
That would all be something that would be directed by city council.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that might be worth bringing to city council as a suggestion from the planning commission. The other thing, bringing to your meeting with Vistra, you said that they were talking about holding some public workshops, that a component of those workshops, in addition to education and explanation of what their project is about, could be a section on the potential additional benefits to the public. As the committee said, beyond, yes, there's an economic value or it creates X number of jobs or some tax dollars are coming in. So, you know, what this kind of significant public benefits process would be talking about. So that would be something I would suggest to bring to the Vistra folks as part of their workshops or public workshops. Mike, your hand.
And you know, I like the idea about keeping the council informed as to our interest in what we've done to date, and we're going to continue to do work as a subcommittee. But I was wondering if we could possibly send and make sure, I think Scott said that they may have seen this already, but I don't know what they see and what they don't see, but making sure at least they see this report that was brought forward to us today, right? That we brought forward today, Scott, we did do a larger report. Like Sean said, there's a larger report that wasn't brought forward. So what do you guys want to do? Do you want to send them the large report? I don't think we're ready for that.
Could we agendize if you guys agree to the next meeting, and we can call the commission larger report, and then we can come with a full awareness of the commission.
Okay, so you're not ready to even send the small document that we did tonight, though.
Sure. Oh, the small.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay, good. So
they already get it. They already have get your agendas. They have them. The Vista subcommittee probably be especially interested in it because this is one of the topics they're discussing.
Okay. And one of the things I wanted to say, Scott, because you said it tonight, is the fact that this happens, but, you know, Vista, initially the site was assumed to be very polluted. You know, we could only do so much. Well, now it's not so polluted. We built a dump where we thought there was a lot of pollution. And then we built a golf course because we could. And then we thought it was so okay that we're going to build the largest mixed-use development in the city's history. Right? So, you know, when you find out these things and you have more opportunities. So, you know, if it's not as polluted as we thought it was, that's what I was led to believe. Well, we can do more with it. We have more opportunities to develop that land and that use. So I just thought I'd bring that up because that's the first I've ever heard of it. You know, so that gives me the opportunity to possibly put a better use there. Right, guys?
Yep. Right, Bill?
I mean, come on. I mean, you see, that's the part I don't like is the fact that I'm not being allowed to, you know, swing at the ball because I can't see it coming. And when you don't see something coming, then you've got to be given the opportunity at least get ready for it. You know, so that's what I'm saying. So now that I know this information, it gives me the opportunity to do a better job as a planning commissioner in developing that site.
So, Mike, why don't I'm going to suggest something for the subcommittee. Why don't you guys start a communication to the subcommittee of City Council? And just a little package telling them what happened tonight, you know, give them, even though it's in the staff report, send them the letter so each council member gets it. And then I think we agendize and go to the next step to look for a nexus and to sort of, you know, fine-tune the list. But then what you're building is a communication. What do you think of that, Mike?
Sure. Well, let me ask you a question. Did you know that Bistro wasn't as polluted as it was in the last report we got? Did you know that? I just found out tonight, because that allows us to use, you know, possibly have a different use for that site, right?
That's a bit too specific maybe for tonight, but I think it's a very important point, because some of this community benefit has to go to those measures, cleanup, mitigation, the covenant. Yeah. How are the covenants going to be solved? So this might be a bigger issue than first blush. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, only because I just thought I'd bring up that project again, where we started with a dump, we built a golf course, now we're building a state-of-the-art mixed-use development on a property we thought was totally polluted. It wasn't so polluted.
Some of those numbers are going to be, they're going to be part of the project, but some of those numbers are not. So the city needs to be, I think, smart and careful about how we prioritize where there's limited monies from any project. So it's not like we're going to get a bunch of stuff. We're going to get a couple of really good things if we do a good job of explaining them. Yeah.
So could I ask Scott and maybe make a suggestion? I would really love to see this full 10-page report. I do feel that, you know, initially the subcommittee was developed to come up with a clear idea of what public benefits could or should be for a variety of kinds of projects, of a variety of scales, small to very, very, very large. And we used this Bistro one as kind of a case study, but again, although we kind of know what the project is, you know, I certainly have sat in quite a few meetings about the project. I think we still want to be sure we address this broader area of public benefit and how we make menus for that in general terms. And perhaps when we have a more specific Bistro plan to look at, that might be the point where we look at a nexus of what benefits could be for that specific project, rather than, you know, giving them a list and saying pick three or pick five, or do you know what I mean? I see you nodding. Asia, what do you think?
I was going to say, I think establishing what our standards are for how we make that decision, I think is really important.
The 10-page report addresses all public benefits. And it's mostly baked. Sean is correct. It just had some inconsistency issues that I didn't have time to work through lack of a better word, fix. Inconsistencies is what I'm trying to get at, related to like current city codes and things. It kind of took a dive down into, you know, sort of policy level stuff, and it wasn't exactly on point, and I needed to kind of get in there and massage a little bit of that. And so that's why I didn't want to bring it forward. But the case study itself was fine. It did what the case study does, and it looks at the, you know, what types of public benefits could come up for the project. So I think we could bring that back to the council at the next meeting. I don't think that's a tough get. So I would put it like,
I'd offer these are two separate efforts, that the effort around Vistra is going to be very specific of a project of this size. The second effort is a good one. It was definitely part of the, you know, the task of the subcommittee. I would not confuse the two. And I think because the subcommittee's already got the report, I wouldn't hesitate for us to see it and look at it. We already know enough about the project to, you know, to do that next step where we, you know, we come current as we can come. And that way we can, we have to have something more specific than a list of stuff. I think that's not how you go to the council. So, you know, let's go one more round and see if, you know, I'd love to see the report and have everybody weigh in. And then we can do comment and decide where we go. And we, I mean, what I hear Sean in the committee saying is we can do it at the next meeting if we want.
Yeah, I would like to see that 10-page report. I would like to see... to be sure that the subcommittee on public benefits has communicated with the council subcommittee on Vistra so that, you know, everybody's on the same page with that. I wonder, and Bill, maybe you have an idea. Scott says there are plans on the city's website for what this project could look like, you know, pending all the negotiations being done. Perhaps if we all take a deeper dive into that and, you know, review this list more closely that the subcommittee came up with, perhaps come up with other possibilities that seem relevant to the city and the community, but also, you know, doable. That, again, you know, we're not asking them to build 300, you know, affordable housing units, but perhaps providing some property for that. And then come back with a discussion of what we think, based on what we're seeing with the potential for the project, and what we see as significant benefits that the community could gain from it. And have another discussion on that.
I'd love to make a motion that we re-agendize this, that the subcommittee distributes the report, and we all prepare to look more focused at the next meeting around the same issues. And we look further into the future of how we might continue this effort in a responsible way. That, I mean, the effort is to help Vistra, and the effort is to make sure we can do our best to inform what we think are the priorities around planning issues in Morro Bay. So, I mean, I think, and we're in a great position to do both. So that I would make the motion that we agendize again.
Asia seconds. I was going to say that works for me. I think, can we also make some recommendations? I guess we can vote on that, okay. But then make some recommendations for Scott to take back with to his meetings tomorrow. So...
Well, can I just ask a question, Susan?
Sure.
Because, you know, Sean's an at-large. You know, Joe and I can... But what I'm saying is Joe and I can continue to participate and we're going to vote on it. But I would like to ask Sean if he's willing to continue to help us. Because, you know, I just like to throw it out there. Sean, are you willing to continue to participate with us?
Yeah, we can see the finish line, at least in terms of the report, and then Planning Commission can certainly take it from there. So, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
for the next agenda.
Okay, thank you. That way, when we vote, I'm going to make sure you're thinking about you when we're voting, because I need you to continue to do the work, is what I'm saying. Okay, thank you. So I would go ahead and, we have a motion, so.
We have a second from Asia.
Okay.
Scott, I would like to ask, should this come under future agenda items rather than under this item, or is it appropriate to vote on this at this point?
Well, no, you can vote on it. You can just all in favor. It's not required to go each one in.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. And then...
anybody opposed?
Anybody opposed? I saw everybody's hands go up.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. Do we have some recommendations for Scott to take to his meeting tomorrow?
Well, Susan.
Yes.
before we go to that or related to that, could we use the what's left of this meeting as an opportunity to maybe sort of puzzle out what some of these some of the nexus between consequences and benefits might be with respect to the VISTA project? I mean, you know, when I think of that kind of a nexus, I think of you know, concealing trees and whatnot, planted above the berm to conceal the towers. Nothing much else comes to mind that's a direct nexus, and so that's probably a fault of my creative thinking. I could use some help on that.
Asia, have you got some responses to that?
Yeah. In my mind, it's not just about mitigation. Nexus is about the proportionality of the event of VISTRA locating here and doing activities here, and how that proportionality relates to the benefits that it can bring. I'm not very eloquent on this, but basically, like, it's not just that they might be asking for exceptions that might be negative impacts, but that they are a center of town now, right? Or they are going to be a huge part of the Morro Bay community. And so that proportion of their impact or their presence, it would be nice to have a proportionate community benefit. You know, when we ask a waterfront business to give community benefit in general, we want that to be proportionate to what exceptions that are being allowed for. And so for me, it's not just about mitigating, like, maybe traffic impacts, although of course that should be considered, but it's about what does everyone in Morro Bay, how does everyone in Morro Bay benefit? So I don't know if this is really answering the question, but what I am happy to do is find some examples from other places and other projects. I know that this is, you know, this is something that with Diablo closing is going to be a continual conversation for our entire county. And so, yeah, I know there's other examples out there with very similar types of projects. So I'm happy to do some digging.
That would be great, Asia.
Yeah, and you know, you guys, I'm just glad that we just became part of APA. So if anybody's been looking at their mail from APA, they're always talking about this, about public benefits as part of projects and cities. So there's a lot of resources. I think we're all part of that now. So I can also look at some, but I don't know if Joe needs something else other than that, or if Sean feels comfortable, because there's three members. It'll be me, Joe, and Sean. So I think we can move forward unless Joe needs something else, is what I'm saying. You know, Joe, I don't know if we're comfortable at this point. Asia's going to provide some input as well, but not as a subcommittee member. She could just send us an email or something with some information.
Through Scott.
Yes, through Scott, yes.
Okay. But is it that only two members can be on a committee?
Yes.
And I would ask Scott, he might have some good examples
too.
What a nexus is, and it certainly is, you know, I agree with Asia again, it's more than mitigation. But still, it's about how we tie them to the project. That's what creates the nexus. So if we can, you know, Scott, whatever you might have to focus us a little more, I think that would be super helpful.
So would, when you say tie it to the project, Bill, you know, I'm going to do an exaggerated example. You would not ask VISTRA to stabilize the hillsides on Panorama, right? Because that is very far removed from their actual physical project or any impacts their project will have on our town in that particular area. Is that
my understanding with the development agreement, the city council can ask for whatever they want. It's okay. It's wide open. We're looking to help them set reasons and priorities so that we can do a more articulate list. And I think for me that really works to help Vistra at the same time.
Sure.
So I think it becomes just a more enabled list with reasons as well as, you know, requests, right? Explanations. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Asia was alluding to. I mean, there are going to be explanations why this is a good thing to require. But if we wanted to say, forget everything, just do affordable housing, the council could do that.
Okay. What about something like high-speed internet, you know, which would help their business, I would think, radically, but also pretty much everybody in town? I don't know.
I mean, ask Scott. I mean, my feeling, my understanding, and I've seen a lot of pretty extreme things asked for in development agreements. So,
I mean, so development agreements and why you can ask for anything is what a development agreement does. It provides a surety to the developer that they can do what they're asking to do. So their project is this, and it doesn't change. Mm-hmm. You lock in the development agreement, their project's there, the new council comes in, they can't change it because it's an executed agreement, right? So it's not subject to the whims of, political whim, I guess. And for that, you get something for it, right? So you get public benefit for that. You also get public benefit in this project for the PD overlay, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to call things public benefits that aren't. Screening on a berm for the project over there is a project impact related to visual impacts. That's a condition of approval. Mm-hmm. You know, the types of things like, do we need a fire engine, another fire engine to potentially fight a fire that might be caused by the batteries on this location? That's not public benefit. That's a condition of approval for the project. Mm-hmm. So you got to remember, like, when you're thinking about these things, separate out what would be conditions of approval that the project going to require anyway versus public benefits. Like, what is that benefit thing that we're desiring here, I guess, is what I would, sort of get your mind in that space, I guess.
That's helpful.
So, Joe, is your mind in that space, Joe? I'm trying to get back to Joe because I want to make sure Joe's, comfortable with what we set up. That way we move forward, but I want to make sure Joe's comfortable.
Well, I'm always operating to one degree or another in a state of confusion. But I guess it's the term nexus and
okay.
A kind of a precise definition.
It's a nice word. I like the word.
Yeah. It's a good word.
Thanks, Asia.
I have to admit, I've always thought of it in terms of adjacency, which it's really not. So. Mm-hmm.
I only think of it because of having been forced to take land use law classes, and in all legal suits they use the word nexus. But for me, it's about, I mean, it seems like we can define it as a commission as we begin to establish that process. How do we want community benefits? How closely related to impact or not closely related to impact do we want community benefits to be?
We just need
to some degree decide, is it going to be a very large marker? Is it going to be a very tight definition of what a community benefit is?
Well, and the only distinction I would add, Asia, is that that's going to be the council's job. Mm-hmm. Our job is to show something, I think, that's more project specific.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The nexus of the project. That's where we can be helpful. If the council wants internet, council wants internet.
But as we're looking at land use, I feel like we have, as we're making suggestions for what those benefits are, what those projects are, that we can decide how closely related should it be.
I think.
Yeah.
And Bill, you said it earlier, but I think what's important too is that the community has an opportunity to get, we think we're 7 people or 8 people that know what's good for Morro Bay. Well, we got to give our community, a chance to fill our ear with what they think nexus, public benefit, all these things we're talking about. We haven't put it out there yet, but that's going to be an important element of the council's work or our work or both of our work. So I want that to go away.
You're totally right. And the more structure we can give to that, the more successful we'll be.
So, Scott, then I think one thing to, again, go back to this meeting tomorrow, to be sure that Vistra is doing their public meetings and engaging people not only with what their project is, but allowing people to have some input on public benefits, and then potentially to bringing this, if council is willing, for the various commissions and boards to agendize it, to have it show up in these arenas for public comment. Because again, I still think that's probably our easiest way. And if it's publicized, if it's sent out in the Notify Me, or even the, and there would be time for this in the city manager's newsletter, that it will be addressed at these various meetings at points uncertain at this point. But again, allowing that public input on camera, you know, or at least auditory. So any other things we'd like to have Mr. Graham bring back to the meetings tomorrow? Seeing nothing there. Scott, do you feel like you've got enough?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to provide them with a, you know, sort of general characterization of the discussion that the Planning Commission had tonight, and, you know, what the path forward is that the Commission, you know, is going to be working on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that can be aided by, correspondence from the subcommittee to the Vistra Subcommittee on Council. Just sort of reinforcing, you know, what I'm telling them. It doesn't have to come before my meeting tomorrow afternoon. It could certainly come later in the week. It's fine. And that's kind of where I'm at. Then I'll convey the option or the opportunity to use the other commissions, advisory boards, and bodies to help with that discussion, as well as to incorporate into the public workshops that Vistra will be holding to introduce or to continue to introduce their project to the community.
Great. All right. Any last comments on this before we move on? We're good to go. All right. Moving on to Planning Commissioner comments and future agenda items. We already have one item on there. Anything else anybody wants to introduce? When are we going to be seeing zoning?
Yeah, we are right now. We met with Martha Miller earlier this week to go over earlier this week, yesterday. to go over, we finalized responses to the Government Affairs Committee for the Chamber. And out of that, and the reason I point that out ahead of this discussion is that it resulted in us proposing some changes to the language in the zoning code. For things that they pointed out or came across or recommended that might improve the document. We agreed with several of them, and so are moving some of those forward. I think we're going to have it back in time to bring it to the next meeting, so the first meeting in March, so it'll be on the same agenda with this item. So you're going to have you'll be talking a lot at that meeting, I think. And I will be bringing back the, we did not forget, we have the top 10 changes that we made to the zoning code that were requested that the last time the Planning Commission saw it. So we have that discussion as well for you as part of that. I don't have any, you know, anticipated, this is going to be an adoption hearing, so you know. Doesn't mean you have to make your recommendation to City Council out of this meeting. Certainly you can have more, but it'll be notified as such. It'll be, you know, adoption hearing for recommendation to City Council.
Great. So everybody do your homework on that one.
Scott, get public comment on the, is there any way we can, I don't know, ask for that, like from the public, to get it enough in advance that we can be inclusive?
The public comment?
From the chamber, from whoever might want to weigh in on this.
Well, yeah, we're finalizing the report right now. We can post that ahead of the meeting. Happy to do it. We literally, our assistant planner right now is working on merging. We have comments in two different documents, but thankfully they're spreadsheets, and so she's merging them right now. So we might be able to actually get that out by the end of the week, or maybe within the next day or two.
Great. And Asia, you had a comment? Question?
Yeah. I lost it.
We'll come back to you. Maybe you'll remember. Joe, have you got anything?
Oh, I remember.
Oh, see, I told you.
I was going to ask if there's any updates on meeting in person, if that's coming anytime soon or...
Council is going to be picking this up again here shortly, I believe. I think we're shooting for that sort of April timeframe is my take. It might start with council and then roll to the advisory boards. I don't know whether any of you know this, but our the vet's hall where we have our meetings right now is COVID testing center. And it is the most used COVID testing center in San Luis Obispo County. So there's been some concern about removing that resource to folks that are on the coast here. It's used by Cambria, Cayucas, City of Morro Bay, obviously, and Los Osos, as opposed to going to the testing center in San Luis. It seems like those communities come here. So there's been at least some concern on the part of council about moving quickly until the need reduces, I think, is kind of the idea. And they're hoping, that with the numbers going down like they are, that we'll be able to move into the sort of hybridized meeting. We're still going to have the ability for folks to come into the meetings remotely, but also to be in person. So something to look forward to.
That's really interesting about the testing center.
I was kind of shocked when I heard it too. Yeah. But I think it's just kind of who the communities on the coast in this area of who they relate more to. Mm-hmm. You see a little bit of that in other gatherings and things that are out there. Sort of associate more with the coastal communities here than they do with say maybe City of San Luis.
Sure.
Or North County.
I'm assuming the campus of Cal Poly would have its own testing center, so the students would be using that. We have an aware community who is concerned about their health. So
yeah,
that's fascinating.
It's easy to get appointments at the vet's hall. A little easier, I think.
It's really easy. You just go online and boom, you're in. So, yeah. And it's fast. They do a good job. Okay. So I think that gave us your community development director comments, unless you have anything else, Scott?
I was going to check if I had anything else for you. The next meeting, we're going to be pretty full, so maybe I'll hold off. We do have a Harbor Walk logo, several of them. Our planning intern put them together. She did a good job. They look really good. So I don't know if I'm going to bring it to the next meeting. You have a full agenda for that one. I might wait for the following one, but I do have those available as well. We'll see how things look. So
it sounds fun. Maybe you could send it to us to look at anyhow.
That's not a bad idea.
And then we can... Yeah. Reserve our comments for later.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Plenty of time to think about it.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, then I think if we have no other comments or questions, we are ready to adjourn this meeting. It's 7:33. We did a great job, everybody. Really appreciate all that input. The work the subcommittee did was fabulous. I'm looking forward to reading the full report. Asia, your input tonight was great. Good to sort of get us thinking on that planning path there. And we will see you guys all in 2 weeks. Thank you so much and have a good night.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.